you know, sadly, I think, first of all, I should acknowledge that this funding cut is real, right? And that it may actually lead to closure of some laboratories. And this may happen, you know. And I can't say that everybody's going to survive. It's almost like a, think about, an extinction event, right? So this is as large as a you know, could be as bad as an extinction event for academics. And, you know, our Earth has faced five extinction events at different time, but, you know, life is still thriving. So every time that happens, you know, people bounce back.
Welcome back to This Person I Met. My name is Kayla, and I'm the host of this podcast. The voice you just heard is Professor Alan Liu from the University of Michigan. As you may have already heard from the news, the scientific pipeline is facing a major crisis. Since January, the federal government has terminated over 1,600 active research grants, which are worth roughly $1.5 billion. This proposes a 37% cut to the National Institute of Health and a 56% cut to the National Science Foundation. But what do these numbers mean? To Professor Liu, whose life has been built upon science, these numbers spell out a massive change for STEM. The future of research, determined by Liu, is uncertain. In this episode, he explains the numbers and their potential impact on generations of scientists to come, and raises the question of what really is at stake when you neglect the scientific pipeline.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Alan Liu, and I'm a professor of mechanical engineering at the University of Michigan.
That's nice. Can you tell me about your own field of study and why it's important to you?
Sure. So my background is in biophysics, and I primarily studied two different areas. Mm-hmm. One is called mechanical biology, which involves around understanding how physical forces affect biological functions, and we focus on looking at single cells or collective groups of cells. My other research area is on synthetic biology, where we try to build cell-like system from the bottom up, taking biological molecules, try to encapsulate them within a lipid bilayer membrane so that they can exhibit certain features of life.
Wow, that's interesting. Can you explain why federal funding is essential for university research programs and the rest of the scientific pipeline?
Yeah, so first of all, it's important to recognize when this, institution, university, and government partnership started. So after the Second World War, the U.S. government decided to invest in science. And this is in the mid of 1940s. Mm-hmm. And since then, there's been a continuous support of federal government into the into research universities. Mm-hmm. And federal agencies, you know, include a lot of different places, including NIH, you know, National Institute of Health, mm-hmm. Department of Energy, NASA, DOD, Department of Defense. And speaking as a University of Michigan faculty, there was, in 2024, there was about $1.17 billion of federal funding out of the $2 billion of research expenditure that university has. So you can do the math, about 55% comes from the federal government. So this is a very, very substantial amount of research investment. And that obviously is crucial for giving us the financial resources to conduct our research.
Yeah. And continuing on with the federal funding cuts, have you personally felt the effects of the federal funding cuts to research?
Absolutely. So, this started, pretty much at the end of January when we started to hear a variety of news and policy changes. As of now, I can mention probably three distinct impact. Mm-hmm. First of all, I have a postdoctoral fellow who's funded on a National Institute of Health postdoctoral fellowship. That program was discontinued in April. So the postdoc is no longer supported off that grant as of basically going into end of July. So the university has to provide gap funding to support this individual. Mm-hmm. So that's a very immediate impact because the program that goes to support postdoctoral fellows discontinued. And I had another grant that, was funded and they decided to cut back 20% of current funding grants. So that, again, has a direct impact because we have less money to spend on, people in our and materials and supply. And then the last is because of all these uncertainty and the cutback, investigator like myself, have to write more proposals. So I'm, you know, in the last you know, couple of months, you know, been more turned down of proposals I submitted last year, and this obviously has a direct impact, because if the lab needs a function, the only thing that you can do is to apply for more funding, right? As I said, 55% of our funding comes from the federal government. The other portion comes from foundations and universities' investment. But being 55% of the research funding, if that's cut by 50%, then we're you know, really losing a lot, right?
Yeah.
So at least hundreds of millions of dollars are lost.
And this is happening to basically almost every university across the U.S.?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the impact is across the entire U.S. And you might have seen the news that certain universities are being, you know, targeted more than others. Mm-hmm. But by and large, when there are policy changes that impacts, you know, federal agencies like the NIH, the NSF, the National Science Foundation, this impacts across the entire, you know, research enterprise in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What worries you most about the future of research based on the recent cuts of scientific agencies?
Right. So I, you know, I mentioned that the university receives about $1.17 billion from federal agencies, and that money seems like a large amount. It is. And the amount goes towards supporting 16,000 researchers across the universities. And the 16,000 individuals that are supported, about 44% are students. So the most immediate impact are graduate students and other students that receive financial support through the grants that we receive that goes to pay their stipend, you know, pay their health insurance. So there's an immediate impact from that. So I do worry about the futures of research based on research cuts, because in part they're losing out on the training opportunities, right? So if we are scaling back on research investment, there will be less, you know, graduate students entering graduate programs. And this become a negative cycle. The research enterprise in the U.S. will contract. And I think, you know, right now we're in this such an uncertain time that it's difficult to see where, how this will end.
The federal government's cuts to the budget of research programs have been called a devastating blow to U.S. science. What are the immediate and long-term effects of this major decision?
Right. So the question has both a short-term and long-term implication. I'll start with the short-term. The immediate short-term impact is there's a loss of productivity in the current project. So I mentioned that there've been abrupt stop to some of the funding and or reductions of the budget. And that, you know, that creates a sense of anxiety on people. And, you know, for myself, I'm having to write more proposals. So it's taking time away from doing the science. And so this essentially leads to a loss of productivity, and, you know, both for myself and also for my lab. Now, in the long term, I touch on the loss of talent in the pipeline. You know, so if you have less graduate students coming in, perhaps even less training for undergraduate students, as the labs are getting smaller, then you're going to lose, the pipeline of, the talent going to, say, industry, right? And going on to career research path. So everything's going to be smaller, right? Given the the reductions in investment. And importantly, I think the U.S. Has been a dominator in global science for many, many years now. And it's probably, you know, it's likely that we might see the decline of U.S. leadership in science because of the current climate, funding climate. And we might not be the top. You know, who knows when, but I think in terms of research output, in terms of the innovation that comes from federal investment, all those will decline. And, you know, perhaps in a few years, we might not be seen as the global leader in science and engineering anymore.
So you'd say that, like, the federal funding cuts affect the amount of students that go into the scientific pipeline as well?
Yeah. So if there's less, you know, funding that goes towards the graduate programs, let's just imagine, you know, applying for schools, like college applications, you have a lot more applicants than people you can take. Obviously, a graduate school is not a requirement for you know, you know, for getting a job. So as this becomes more and more competitive, you start to, you know, lose the interest from the students who want to go into research. And I think the other component is we have a lot of international students that come from all over the world to the U.S. to do research. And because, again, because of current climate, the uncertainty, you're going to start to lose those students to other places. So I think that is a real impact that we can see in the, you know, short and immediate term. I should also mention that, you know, being talking about investment in science, there's also a lot of reports out there that talks about the investment in science has a return as well into the economy.
Yeah.
That for every dollar that's invested in science, about $2.50 goes back to the economy. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, again, that has impacts into other people's pockets, right?
Yeah.
Other you know, industries and whatnot. So I think the cut in research budget would also impact sort of the national economy at a scale that's outside of diversity, right?
Yeah. And I did read an article that said that, like, the cuts to the federal funding for, like, science are supposed to benefit the economy, which I found doesn't really make
sense.
That's right.
So I think that is obviously a subject worth of debate, right? So, you know, is it true that when you spend less money, you essentially save more money? Yeah, absolutely. But you have to look to what the money that you're spending on will generate.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So if you spend a dollar and you get $2.50 back, this is a great deal, right? If I give you a dollar, you give me $2.50, I will always do that.
Yeah.
So that is something that I think the public needs to think about is what are the societal impact of removing funding from science. Mm-hmm. And I think the other important thing to remember is science has actually driven many innovations of things around us, right? And both in terms of technology, but also health, right? You know, the medicines that we've taken, the improvement of surgical procedures, and all those are accumulations of scientific knowledge over time, right? And it has a real benefit to human life.
Yeah, and the scientific innovations that were, like, promoted after the, like, Cold War and during the Cold War that you mentioned at the beginning, like, are what fueled the economy for so long.
Exactly. Yeah, so there was a huge amount of dollar that went into research to, at that time is a, it's a competition, so who's stronger, right? And I think we're still in the global race of innovation. And the way to be at the top is to invest, right?
Yeah.
If you don't invest in science and in our society, then we'll be on the decline. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific fields that you feel are most vulnerable to the funding cuts?
Right. So right now, there are already some existing fields that we know have been cut, specifically funding for diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, and those have been very quick on the chopping block. And then there are also some climate and public health related research, and as well as basic and medical research. So those have been sort of the primary targets as of now. But again, you know, if the policy is one that does not support research, you know, I can imagine other researchers may get cut as well. But we also have seen news that certain, you know, they're increasing the budget for the military, although that may or may not be directly tied to research. So it's hard to say what would be the priority of the current administration, right, in terms of research, right?
And in your opinion, what is truly at stake when the federal government slashes research funds?
Ah, this is a great question. So I'm going to say academic freedom.
Yeah.
I should probably define what academic freedom means in this context. So academic freedom here, you know, at least for an academic institution, enables, you know, individual faculty to pursue their knowledge and knowledge of research without interference.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, your previous question was asking about what are specific fields have been subjected to cuts, and the fact that there are multiple fields specifically targeted for cuts, you know, signal this, you know, breach of academic freedom that, you know, academics are hold very, very truly and dearly to, right? Because essentially, you know, we want to be able to conduct our research without outside influence, you know, if we can receive, you know, research funding that are judged based on merit from other researchers,
yeah,
then we ought to be able to pursue that. And I think that's, to me, the biggest, thing that's at stake. So right now the government is using funding as a token for conformity.
Yeah.
And, whether it's about research or whether it's not about research is they're essentially imposing university to follow their rules or their preferences. And I think that's a real issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this certainly undermines the research process, where we don't want to produce a study that is influenced by other people telling us, this is what you should study and this is why it's important. As scientists and as engineers, we want to be able to derive that from our own experiences and our own knowledge, right? And so that we can produce the best work that, that reflects our research process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On a brighter note, what gives you hope for the future of research?
And this speaks to the quality of academics. As academics, we are intrinsically resilient.
Mm-hmm.
We have been trained, so I'm an experimental scientist. And when you experiment, 90% of time things don't work, but we keep going back at it, right? We keep going back at it. We think about why, we think about how else can we do this differently. And we've been trained, and this is part of our DNA, and this is built into academics' DNA that we're resilient. So we use the failing, we use the bouncing back. And I think I mentioned earlier that there's this economic consequences of reducing research funding.
Mm-hmm.
Inevitably, that's going to hit. That's going to hit the society. People are going to realize that, hey, we've been, wrong about this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cutting these research funding. So hopefully this will just be temporary challenges that we have to face. University is one of the few things that lasts for hundreds of years. University of Michigan has had a long history of, over 200 years, and many older universities have lasted hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about comparison to a company, many of our companies have not had a history of, even over 100 years, right? So, mm-hmm. so we're looking at institutions that lasted for many, many, many generations. So there's hope there that this is a temporary challenge. And the other thing I'll mention is that research itself is a global enterprise.
Yeah.
It is not just about a single country, right? So mm-hmm. the United States is obviously the biggest producer of science, but it's not just about us. So there is already a uptick in research investment by other countries that may hopefully offset some of the challenges that we're facing in the U.S. And this might attract researchers out of the U.S., mm-hmm. which again is not good for the country, but it keeps the science alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that universities are always going to fight for their academics, like seeing Harvard file a lawsuit, seeing other universities fight for that.
And more universities should do that. I think there are already universities that join together and file lawsuits on the current funding cuts and a variety of policy that's been put out, but this is going to take some time, right? So we just have to see how things play out, right?
Yeah. Hasn't been too long, so I'm still waiting to see what developments happen.
Yeah, it changes very fast. I mean, it's such a strange time right now that mm-hmm. None of us know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we're in a very reactive mode when funding is cut away. Think about somebody losing their job, and it's if you lose your job, what do you do, right? So obviously, you start looking for alternatively funding sources, or can mm-hmm. you get money? Can you get a job again, different area? But for us, because we are so dependent on federal funding, mm-hmm. when that is pulled back at such a large scale, it really hurts across the whole research enterprise. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, how do you think scientific programs will adapt?
So this is a very challenging question. Sadly, I think, first of all, I should acknowledge that this funding cut is real, right? And that it may actually lead to closure of some laboratories. And this mm-hmm. may happen, you know, and I can't say that everybody's going to survive. It's almost like a, you know, think about, you know, an extinction event, right? So yeah. this is as large as a, you know, could be as bad as an extinction event for academics. And, you know, our Earth has faced five extinctions at a different time, but, you know, life is still thriving. So every time that happens, you know, people bounce back. So I have the knowledge that some labs may end up, you know, not surviving. Mm-hmm. But this will lead to a loss of knowledge and continuity. You know, the way that we may adjust is to pivot.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it, is to think about the science that we do. You still have to find your passion in science, and mm-hmm. you may... one may try to pivot around, you know, the priorities that are still being supported. Mm-hmm. And that's one way to survive, right? And,
yeah.
You know, in nature, we, you know, organisms evolve to to adapt to their climate, to adapt to the environment. I think we, you know, academics, we may have to do the same thing. And the other point that's worth mentioning is, again, tying back to the 55% of federal support, is that we do receive money from foundations, mm-hmm. and you know, there may be a new paradigm in the future where we're perhaps less reliant on the federal government. We may be more reliant on foundations, but you know, it's not going to happen overnight, right? So we have many big foundations in the U.S. They may have to pick up more of the support for science.
How can society, even outside of the scientific field, advocate for the future of research?
Right. So first of all, the public needs to understand the value of research and, you know, sort of relook through everybody's own experience, the things that they work with, the things that they use. You know, I would say a lot of them are products of research, mm-hmm. right? So be able to first understand the, you know, for them to see the value of research, and understand that these has fueled the improvement of humans and generating knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the benefit of research is, you know, it's not easily predictable. So I think it's easy for the public to jump, you know, into their opinion and say, well, doing this has nothing to do with me and therefore we should not support it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's often not true, right?
Yeah.
So if you think about some of the most fundamental discovery in physics, and that has actually transformed technology, right? The discovery of laser, you know, which is now everywhere. And but at the very beginning, you know, who knows how, you know, light works, and
mm-hmm.
And the fact that laser was, you know, sort of, you know, invented, that transformed every single aspect of our life, right? You know, if you talk about fiber optic, internet, and all, everything has to depend on how, you know, information gets transmitted long distance. So understanding the fundamental natures of the universe actually has a profound impact on our own lives, right?
Like, speaking of lasers, like, people think, oh, I can use this to, like, play with my cat, but they don't realize that it, like, changed the world because research.
Exactly. So, you know, and think about the development of computers, right? The very first computer was not made to do what we're doing now with personal computers.
Yeah.
Everybody has a computer in their pocket, right? Your cell phone is a very powerful computer.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was first developed, you know, programming was a very, very different, you know, thing, you know, say 50 years ago or so, right? But things have transformed through development of science and technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think this will be our final question. What do you think the administration's actions say about the government's beliefs regarding the importance of science and research?
Right. So my own interpretations of what's happening right now is that the leadership in our current administration has little regard for the importance of science and research.
Yeah.
And this is evident in all the actions they've taken so far. The policy have sent a signal that they're trying to punish university. They're politicizing academic freedom. And you know, really, politicians are politicians for a reason. They're good at, you know, politicizing things,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really experts in science and technologies, and they really should not be the one that set research agenda, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we spoke about academic freedom, which really empowers individuals to decide what should be research.
Yeah.
And there are experts that are reviewing these, ideas. It should be up to the scientific community to decide on that rather than having the government interfere with that process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all I have for today. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yes, final thoughts. I should convey that, I'm passionate about what's happening right now in part because science is essentially the core of my life. I've been interested in science ever since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly my career is dependent on science and research, but I enjoy this tremendously. I'll do my very best to advocate whenever I can to change the course of what we're heading into, and I'll continue to speak up whenever I can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you on this topic. I think it's a fascinating topic, and it was a fun conversation.
No, thank you. I learned a lot today. It's amazing. It was actually this interview was really amazing. Thank you so much.
Great. Oh, my pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I think I can stop it here.